Hi, I'm Anne Strainchamps.
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 Im Chul. Marunam Anne Strainchamps.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Anne Strainchamps.
Nella, Naki Anne Strainchamps.
Ja, I am Strainchamps.
Ani, Anne Strainchamps.
Hi, I'm Anne Strainchamps.
Perfect.
Hold on. I'm Anne Strainchamps, right? This voice, right here, this is me. If you've heard the show before, maybe you recognize me. If not, I guess you'll just have to trust the person behind the microphone. As a radio host, my only identifying feature is my voice. This is how you know who I am. But what if you don't like it? Today on To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, we're listening to and thinking about voices and all the ways we judge, criticize, repress, and police them. All the ways we censor the sound of our own voices. Take David Thorpe. He's the producer and director of a documentary that asks the question, do I sound gay? Spoiler alert, yes, he does. But one day, he started wondering why. He was going through a tough breakup at the time, and he had decided to go out to Fire Island for the weekend. But on his way there, well, wait, I'll just let him tell it.
I had kind of a lightning bolt experience after a breakup in which I was on a train to Fire Island, ostensibly to kind of get over the breakup. And I found myself really irked by the voices around me and sort of overcome with this realization that, you know, I had spent 25 years not comfortable with my voice and that I needed to figure out why and what to do about it.
But what does that even mean? To sound gay. I mean, you're talking about not just the things you talk about and not just, I don't know, specific speech patterns or actually literally the sound of your voice.
Some of the stereotypical traits of a gay voice would be a voice that's higher, softer, a voice that is both very precise in the way that it is spoken, but also possibly very languorous and drawing out the vowels. A lot of variation in pitch is also a typical tip-off for people. The hissy S, that sibilant sound, is truly the signature of a so-called gay voice. And those are the basic traits that people look or listen for.
Are you suggesting that those are all learned traits? Because you went back and asked, you know, your family members, old friends, you know, did I always sound gay or was there a moment when I changed? What did they tell you?
Yeah, for me, what happened was that as I was starting to go through puberty, I had a lot of like gender nonconforming ways of expressing myself. And I was pretty effeminate as a little boy. But as I got into middle school, I learned very quickly that that effeminacy was not acceptable. And I straightened myself out, so to speak, including my voice. But what my friends and family told me in the course of my making the film was that after I did come out around the age of 19, I did start to change the way I spoke. And I did adopt a more stereotypically gay way of speaking.
September of 1993, you sounded like a straight boy from an academic family in South Carolina. And by May, you were sounding pretty gay.
Interesting. Okay. I didn't know. This has happened to me incrementally.
You were consciously or unconsciously exaggerating it for a while as you were sort of coming to terms with your identity, etc., but for sure.
You know, I had been in the closet for so long. And it was important to me to let people know that I was gay I wanted them to know from a far distance that a gay guy was coming down the path. But I think then, you know, as I got a bit older, that flamboyant way of speaking started to feel like a trap and maybe a performance.
Well, what's interesting about what you're saying is the way voice and identity are so linked. So, you know, you talk about changing your voice around 19 when you're just beginning to, you know, adopt your new adult identity. And of course, your voice kind of echoes and reflects that. And then it sounds like you know, quite a bit later, you began to wonder about that identity, as we all do. You know, there's a point at which we all get to a place where we've been living inside this particular adult identity we've crafted and lived inside for a while. And often there's a time when it doesn't fit anymore. It's like a, you know, set of clothes that have gotten too small.
Absolutely. I mean, we go through a lot of ups and downs in our lives, and we go through a lot of changes. And, you know, sometimes our voices follow and sometimes they don't. And I, you know, the film depicts a time in my life when I was feeling very vulnerable and feeling a real lack of confidence. There's no shortage of people from other backgrounds who talk about how their voices play a role in their sense of self, whether it's a lesbian of color who is really keenly aware of how she code switches, to Southerners who sometimes feel like their accents make them sound uneducated. Many people are not always in sync with their voices in terms of how they want to be seen or heard.
Mm. So you actually wound up going to a couple of speech therapists to try to sound less gay. I mean, first of all, there are therapists who do that.
Well, you know, I initially wanted to try to learn how to sound less gay so that in situations where I felt vulnerable about being visibly or audibly gay, I would feel safer. And, you know, also maybe for some more shallow reasons, sort of I knew that a more masculine voice would make me more attractive to other gay men, which just tends to sort of be how it is out on the single scene.
Wait, because that's a fascinating point. So sounding gay makes you less attractive to other gay men?
Well, you know, the gay community in general, there is a value placed on masculinity, just like in mainstream culture at large. And, you know, you only have to flip through a gay magazine to see how masculine and macho most of the images are that are supposed to be, you know, kind of exciting.
Does this seem problematic at all to you, like a kind of internalized homophobia?
In one way, the emphasis on masculinity is problematic, because it's a stereotype that many of us don't fit and that, frankly, many straight men don't fit. On the other hand, you know, there's nothing wrong with a fetish as long as it doesn't interfere with kind of your ability to form relationships with people. But there is a kind of superficial worship of masculinity that can be stigmatizing.
Right. Well, I guess the question is, on the one hand, is there a kind of worship of masculinity? And on the other hand, is there a dislike or rejection of femininity?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, this fear of sounding gay is a fear of effeminacy, which is essentially springs from a kind of misogyny, that women are less than, they're second-class citizens, that why would you ever want to be more like a woman and less like a man? And, you know, the gay community is no different than mainstream society. It's sometimes a shock, I think, to people who aren't gay to find that out. But, you know, I think it actually sort of shows how we're, in many ways, all prey to the same cultural prejudices.
It's fascinating how much, once you start digging into the voice, how many of the ways we code voices you realize we've grown up with. One of my favorite, and for me most eye-opening sections of your film is the one in which you wind up talking about Disney villains and this kind of whole cultural history that they're coded as gay, which I had never noticed.
You know, when you see them all cut together, it's very unmistakable that this kind of aristocratic, effeminate, gay voice has been a mainstay of Disney for quite some time.
I thought perhaps you were entertaining someone up there in your coils.
You know what happens when someone upsets me.
Perhaps I can divine a solution to this thorny problem.
Oh, I shall practice my curtsy.
It is a little bit disturbing to think that stereotypical gay voice is so affixed to the notion of the villain.
So when you set out to figure out whether you sound gay, did you figure out how to sound straight? I mean, what is the sound of straightness?
Well, let's say I understand sounding straight much better, even though I myself am not always capable of turning on a dime and doing so. But I mean, again, sounding straight is shorthand for a masculine or even hyper-masculine voice. So a voice that's lower, a voice that goes down at the end, that makes authoritative statements as opposed to going up at the end. We have yet to kind of allow an effeminate voice be an authoritative voice.
It's really fascinating when you start talking about it, don't you think? You just start noticing the infinite vocal variety around us and the many things our voices can signify. That's just, it makes the world more interesting.
I agree. I mean, I think one of the things that the process of making Do I Sound Gay helped me do was to learn to kind of delight in the variety of people's voices and the richness of what they tell us or we think they can tell us.
David Thorpe is the producer and director of Do I Sound Gay? It's streaming now on Netflix and other platforms.